They're going to say, look at me and see.
Okay, I'd like to call the Jobs, Agriculture, and Rural Development Committee to order for Monday, February 2nd. Let the record state that we do have a quorum, members. On our agenda today, we have two items. We're going to hear from the Greater Minnesota Partnership for about the first half hour, and then after that, we're going to bring back Senator Bonhoff's Senate File 5 that we heard last year to hopefully take action on. Last week to take action. So with that, I would like to have Dan Dorman, actually my former representative. I served with him my first two terms in the Senate, who now wears a different hat, though. He's the executive director of the Greater Minnesota Partnership, and he's going to give us a little update on what they've been working on. And with that, I'll turn it over to you, Representative Dorman. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, and good afternoon, Senator and Committee. I appreciate the time. Appreciate the half hour. I was a little nervous when I think your staff first thought 15 minutes, and I thought, hell, I'm a former House member. We can't even introduce ourselves in 15 minutes, let alone get through a presentation. But I'll try to stay on time, Senator. I appreciate that very much. I thought maybe just to start, I would provide just a brief overview of our organization for members that are not familiar with it. But the Greater Minnesota Partnership, this is our third year of existence, and we advocate on behalf of Greater Minnesota when it comes to economic development issues. So we stay out of, or try to stay out of, things that don't directly involve economic development. Last year we worked on broadband, for example. This year a couple of our priorities are going to be that we're going to talk about today, workforce housing and job training. The partnership itself has about 90 members from chambers of commerce, EDAs, cities, private businesses, nonprofits, some of our higher ed partners. So it's a pretty good cross-section of representation in Greater Minnesota. But what I can tell you, and I'm sure that it's not really news to anybody on the committee, that it really doesn't matter where you go in Greater Minnesota and talk about economic development. It may not be the number one issue, but always in the top three is workforce housing. So maybe we could start there, Senator, if that's okay.
That's wonderful.
Everyone should have a handout, a front and back handout on workforce housing. On the front page, there's a couple of quotes from different businesses, but particularly struck a couple weeks ago, I was down in Jacksonville visiting with somebody, and I think they made the case really well, and it was pretty succinct, which is we need the city to grow so we can grow our business. They can create jobs in a couple different plants they have in the country, but they want to create more jobs in Jackson. But in order to see that happen, they need the community itself to grow. And so they've invested in the community, and we're interested in what we were proposing to stimulate investment. From our view, it's a market problem. There hasn't been enough capital invested in workforce housing in Greater Minnesota. Seems to be a lot in the area of low-income housing and other programs, but doesn't matter, Senator, when you're in your own district. It's the high school and the medical facility for, maybe a beginning teacher or a nurse just starting out. The market has not built housing that really satisfies that need. And so we've got, in fact, the jackets will be done, I think, either later today or tomorrow. But we'll be coming to you with a proposal for primarily tax credits. And the tax credit proposal is based on we stole or borrowed or learned about the best of things happening in other states, and part of it came from the state of Iowa, and part of it came from the state of North Dakota. Both have successful programs that created incentive for developers using tax credits. The Iowa model focuses on, I'll say, large investors or a business. So if a company like Polaris and Roso or whoever it is wanted to invest money in their local community into workforce housing, they could invest $1 million and get up to a 30% tax credit. Wouldn't be automatic. Deed would have to approve it. So there's some safety built into the bill. It's not just an unlimited tax credit. The other one, which is a North Dakota model, creates an incentive for individuals. So, for example, in my hometown of Albert Lea, I still own a tire store. Mention this hearing, Senator. You'll get everything you've got coming to you. We'll give you a fabulous deal on tires, so I should plug that. Drive to Albert Lea. But, you know, we're small. We wouldn't necessarily go out and build an apartment building on our own, but we may have interest in seeing our community grow. And so it created an incentive for those within 20 miles of a community like that to invest in a pool and receive a tax credit for doing so. So we think those are two ways that haven't really been tried in Minnesota yet, but would provide a strong incentive for investment. Then we'll have a third part of the bill be very similar to, or somewhat similar to, the grant program that was funded last year, the pilot program. And we're also supportive of the work that the League of Minnesota Cities is doing in the area of tax increment financing. Maybe we think it should be a little bolder. Frankly, you know, from our view, when people run for office, we always are in favor of local control, and it seems too often that once we are elected, we are in favor of controlling the locals. And I think TIF is a perfect example of that. In a community like Austin, you could do a low-income housing for 25 years, but you can't do a workforce housing TIF. And so it seems to us that, you know, cities ought to have that flexibility. They have to respond and are held accountable by their local taxpayers. So we think that that's a prudent use of tax increment financing. So we also support that. Senator, would you like me to go through the job training piece and then stand for questions? Or
let's see, if we're going to, are you going to kind of move on from the housing piece at this time?
I was, unless you had.
Okay. Did members have any questions for Executive Director on that? I know that we have heard a lot of it, certainly in greater Minnesota, so we appreciate it. Look forward to the bills coming forward, and hopefully we can move that forward this year for you.
Appreciate it. And Senator, again, you know, it's basic economic development. What do you need to create a job? Well, you've got to have somebody that's willing to risk their capital, put their capital at risk. You need a place for an employee to live. And you need a well-trained employee, which is kind of a segue into the next bill we'd like to talk to you about, which is a job training proposal. It made it to conference committee last year and didn't quite make it out of there as a pilot program, so we're hoping that this year it will be the year that we'll get funded and go over the top. But if you look briefly at the front of this handout, Senator, you'll see there's a graph there that comes from our friends at Deed, and it looks at something called the job vacancy rate. And if you use 2006 as the base, so you start at 2006 and compare greater Minnesota to the metropolitan area, we tracked fairly well with them until the economy started to heat up, in which case the job vacancy rate in greater Minnesota really shot up. Right now it's up almost 60% relative to where it was in 2006. And these aren't jobs that need to be created. These are jobs that are created. They're sitting there. They're waiting. They're open. Trying to find a qualified person to put in that job. And so to respond to that need, the bill that we are advancing, again, we borrowed from other states, but it essentially it's very fast, very flexible, but it's employer-driven. It comes from you set aside the money, you're going to create a certain number of jobs. Think of it maybe a little bit like a TIF for job training, and the program still have to be approved by Deed and go through Deed, but it doesn't necessarily have to go through a Minsky facility. And I should add that Minsky is not opposed to this. They believe they'll compete just fine for the new dollars. Doesn't take any dollars out of the existing system. It's a request for new dollars for a new program that, again, has worked very well in other communities. And there are times when, you know, for whatever reason, there may not be the technical college may not have a program for whatever these employers are looking for. A lot of times it's very specialized. And so, interestingly enough, again, we talked about the pilot program last year, didn't quite make it, and wasn't too long after session got over, Deed actually came up with a pilot project. And so the second part should be stapled to that handout is not our news release, but a news release from the department itself. And they had a tremendous amount of success with it. But what they did is they went to the Job Skills Partnership Board and got $1 million sort of out of existing job training to try this pilot program. You can see the couple examples that they list. You know, for folks in the metropolitan area, it looks like kind of small dollars, but if you're out in Deerwood or some of these small towns, $40,000-$50,000 can be a lot of money and can be the difference between not creating jobs and creating 14 or 15 jobs. Again, if you're in the metro area, that may not seem like a lot. Maybe it does. I hope it does. But, you know, in our neck of the woods, somebody creates 20 jobs, that's kind of a big deal. And so that's what this program is designed to do. We were pleased that Deed did try the pilot project. We're happy with the results. We just think that it needs to be a little broader area. They limit the dollars a little bit, and they limit the size of the employers. We wouldn't do either. You know, we're sort of agnostic. If it's a big employer and they can create 20 jobs, that's 20 jobs we didn't have before. And if it's a smaller employer and they can create 20 jobs, that's 20 jobs we didn't have before. So we look at it from that standpoint and don't say, gee, you're a big employer, you shouldn't need this. We're more interested in creating jobs. The other maybe philosophical difference that we'll have as the process comes forward is a lot of folks will in fact, I think the pilot program last year was tied to a high unemployment rate, and that may not be the best place to spend workforce dollars. We would rather be open on that point to wherever the jobs could be created. So in sometimes, particularly in our regional centers, you may have a relatively low unemployment rate, but you may also have jobs that are sitting there that just need a little training to get them filled, that it might be somebody that either moves to the community or drives in from the bedroom community next door. And so we don't think that unemployment is really a good way to measure where job trading dollars could go. And the flip side of that is you may have an area with higher unemployment that even if you put a bunch of job training dollars in there, you may not see an increase in employment. So our philosophy is to spend those dollars, those precious resources, in areas that a job can actually be created in. So as I said, that bill is working its way through the process, and hopefully, Senator, that we'll be back for hearing on it. But those are the two pieces that the Greater Minnesota Partnership will work on this year. Also, we'll be active again in broadband. A little disappointed in the governor's number, but obviously it's the first year number, and it's a long way, even though it may seem like it's going to be here tomorrow. You know, we're not till the first Monday after the third Saturday in May yet, so we're hoping that Senator Schmidt and the work that he will do between now and then will result in somewhat more being invested in that area. Again, we approach it not from a Netflix standpoint or, can I post pictures on Facebook, which are all great things, but we're concerned about the lack of investment in Greater Minnesota in the area of broadband has been hurting us from an economic development standpoint. So we approach it as a economic development issue. So we'll sure be active in that. And we think that our partners out there, primarily so far the smaller telcos and smaller cable companies, are doing a good job. And hopefully with some more money we'll even go further. So we're optimistic about that. And we'll work on, we've got some water quality issues that don't directly pertain to this issue, but if you're in Greater Minnesota and you've got a wastewater treatment plant in your community, there's some rules that will, if they go unchecked, will have a dramatic impact on a negative side from an economic development standpoint, and from the science that we have done, not a lot of positive side on the environmental side. So, but again, that's not necessarily the bills aren't out yet, not for this committee, but just kind of giving you an overview of the work that we'll be doing or hope to accomplish this year, Senator. So,
excellent. Thank you very much, Executive Director. And I think that you laid a good groundwork. We know that these are important issues, and hopefully we'll be taking some action, this committee and other committees as well, this year. Do members have any questions for the executive director right now? If not, thank you very much, executive director. Appreciate the overview. Yeah, under time, too. That's really good. It's appreciated. But we do. Seriously, these are important issues for the entire state. We look forward to looking forward to you on these issues going forward. So then the next item, we're going to go back to Senate File 5, Senator Bonhoff, that we listened to last week. And we adopted the A3 amendment. That's the document we will be working off of today. Members should have that in your packets. So, Senator Bonhoff, if you want to come forward, just give us a short review of the bill, and then we can entertain any amendments or motions, if that's okay with members.
Thank you, Mr. Senator Chair. Bonhoff. Mr. Chair, it was good to hear Representative Dorman's presentation, because I think many of the bills that are going to come forward this session all really are focused on the same thing, and that is to train our workforce so that we do meet the demands of the 21st century workforce, as well as make sure our rural areas remain strong and vibrant. So I'm hopeful that the bill you have before you also works to do just that. So just in summary, the Earn While You Learn Workforce Development Initiative seeks to expand dual education opportunities through a public-private partnership that would allow Minnesota companies to invest in and develop the talent that our economy needs to grow. The dual education program provides the resources for students as they work towards earning a post-secondary credential while gaining the on-the-job training. So, in summary, as you might recall, the businesses would hire a student. The student would be in a post-secondary institution getting related classroom instruction that would lead towards some sort of credentialing. They'd be working during that time at the company, structured in a way that was flexible for both. And then when their training was done, it is our hope that they would then find employment with that company. And that is actually what we'd expect, and that's what research has shown, but the bill does not put place any structure that would guarantee that. So we did adopt this approach based on other countries' successful use of a strong and robust apprenticeship system. We don't call it apprenticeships in this bill on purpose because of the federal and state guidelines and restrictions that accompany the apprenticeship name. We do support that the companies who choose to participate, if they want to do it under the traditional apprenticeship umbrella, that's wonderful. We know that works. But this bill also allows for the flexibility of a dual education approach. As we also discussed over the interim, we had four industry councils that were put forward in legislation last session that said, we know these industries are ripe for this kind of initiative, and those industries were healthcare, health services, agriculture, advanced manufacturing, and IT. Therefore, what we are going forward in, while this isn't a pilot, because we are putting it forward, we are in essence running a pilot because we haven't done this before, and so we are suggesting that it be limited, and it's within this legislation, to those four areas. I do know that one of the objectives of the legislation is to make sure that those who are underserved have the best opportunity to participate, and the outstate areas. So in the current bill, as you see it, it says 50% of the grants should be used if there are enough applications in the outstate areas. And I know that there is an interest with a amendment that Senator Herr has to address his interest in making sure, and really all of our interests, that this is as robust an opportunity for communities of color.
Should I make an amendment now?
All right.
Senator Herr.
Just waiting for the chair here. Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Bonoff. Mr. Chair, I have an amendment A3.
A6?
A6? Or is it A6 now?
And if I could get a copy of that.
Yep, we'll get them handed out.
Okay, oh, A6, you are correct.
Okay.
Yes.
A6 amendment. We'll get copies to members and obviously to the author. But if you want to start explaining a little bit, Senator Herr, that'd be fine.
Mainly this amendment, well, in the ideal world, this bill is strong enough, but we are living in a more political world. And so having some numbers statistic will make it clear, and including minority population. This amendment will be followed up with an oral amendment too. Senator Bonoff and I had talked about a percentage here. I was thinking in terms of Ramsey County, where in 2020 the population of minority will grow into 50%, and in St. Paul probably 75%. And the number here was toward my liking, but Senator Bonoff and I had talked about a lower number. So after this amendment accepted, I want to make an oral amendment.
Okay. Senator Bonoff, do you have any comments on Senator Herr's amendment?
Well, Mr. Chair, I would welcome a discussion on Senator Herr's amendment. I liked the tone and the direction of it. I was concerned that with on lines 1.15 and 1.6, it says, within the metropolitan area, to the extent there are sufficient applications, the commissioner shall award at least 50% of available grant funds to grants preferred under the subdivision. When I think of the metropolitan area, I think of the 7-county metro area, and the total, communities of color within that larger region aren't really in those numbers. So I was hopeful that we could have a percent that more reflected the ethnic balance of the total community. Having said that, I do support the intent. And so with no basis in fact, I suggested to Senator Herr that we look at a 20% of available grant funds, but I'd like to hear what the committee has to say.
Okay. Right. And maybe it's up to you, Senator Herr, but maybe we could even try to incorporate your change in percentage. Obviously, we want to hear from other members, too, but we could make that motion, too, that as a part of the A6 amendment, if you want to change that number, we get agreement on it, we could just incorporate that into your motion.
Sure. So I'll move that the percentage is 20.
Okay. So we go from 50 to 20 on line 1.6. Members understand what Senator Herr is trying to do? Any discussion? And we'll just incorporate that. So Senator Herr moves that we adopt the A6 amendment with the number change on line 1.6. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed say nay. The motion prevails. The A6 amendment is adopted. Okay. And I guess maybe we should just ask quickly, too. I know we did have a hearing quite extensively last week. Would anyone else in the audience like to be heard on Senate File 5 at this time? Okay. If not, do members have any other questions regarding Senator Bonhoff's bill? Senator Dames.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Nelson.
And Senator Bonhoff, have you run into any opposition on this bill at all?
Senator Bonhoff.
Mr. Chair, when we first came up with this concept last session and introduced it, some of the unions were concerned that we would be in their turf, so to speak, and so we narrowed the frame to make sure they knew that we were not looking to expand and take over existing apprenticeship programs in the construction trades. So for the most part, we had not had any concern, but now I've heard today that one of the unions, the Steelworkers Union, still has a concern in the health sector, and so I just heard about that before committee, and so we will be talking to them before the next committee to find out what their concern is.
Thank you, Senator Bonhoff.
Senator Dames, I apologize, too. As the lead Republican, we'll get you back in your normal spot.
This is fine.
No, you like it down there? Okay. Senator Nelson.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Bonhoff, I like the name of this, Earn While You Learn. And I also just wanted to point out, as I had time to read the bill more over the weekend, there's a lot of things in here that I think really bear special mention that I think are really helpful. And one is, one of the problems we have, I'm on the Governor's Workforce Development Council, and it's very hard to hear about employers who have job vacancies, sometimes hundreds, 200 of them, and yet they can't find the employees to fill those. And so there's this real skills gap between the jobs that we have and the skills that some are unemployed or maybe our new graduates have. And one of the things I really like about this bill is I think it's going to better align that, because it's going to be focused in those areas of need in employment sectors. So I think that's a real positive thing about the bill. And I also was very glad to hear the mention of outstate and metro dollars shared equally, which I think is so important. And then one thing that I don't remember if you talked about this, Senator Bonhoff, but I particularly like the factors that the commissioner must consider in determining the grants, and that's on page 2, lines 4 through 10. And I think you've addressed the things that are so important, which is looking at the regional and aggregate state needs, the employee cost of training, the additional employment opportunities available once that additional training has been completed, and then the compensation and the training cost match. I mean, I think that those are kind of the makings of a great bill. And so I think it really is an important effort, and I think it's going to benefit students. I think it will also lead to greater job placement when they graduate because of the training. I also anticipate that it would hold down the cost of higher education. And so I think it'll be good for employers to probably helping them to get the employees that they need. And so I think this dual education model, it's been a proven model. I appreciate the fact that you were able to narrow the scope so that it wasn't looked at as competing in any way with the unions. And so I think it's great to give students kind of this new and different pathway for job success. And I look forward to seeing this progress through the
process.
Thank
you, Senator Nelson. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Nelson. Senator Rood.
Mr. Chair and Senator Bonnell, I'd like to just go back to Senator Herr's amendment here. I'm always of the mind that we should, you know, provide training to the best qualified. But if we're going to go down this road and include this wording here, I think that when we talk about racial and ethnic minorities, I think there are other minorities. Women are considered a minority, and there's a lot of other things to be considered. So if we're going to go down this road, I would like to remove the words racial and ethnic and just include minorities so that we don't take out anyone that might be in of need.
Mr. Chair, I would like to keep the amendment the same. I know that I dropped the percentage quite low already, and if we go that route can be a long discussion further down, and I'd like to keep it minimized to this number so that we don't go over too long on this discussion.
Senator Rood.
Mr. Chair, then I would like to add an amendment to this amendment, and on line 1.4, add the word women onto it. Women,
okay.
However,
we'll
that works.
Council,
yeah.
Maybe.
Mr. Chairman, members, on line 1.4, after the word are, insert women or. So it would read that our women are members of racial and ethnic minorities.
Does that get to what you're trying to do, Senator?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Herr?
Mr. Chair and Senator Rood, I really appreciate the amendment. I think that's a good amendment, but that will defeat the purpose of lowering down the percentage number to 20.
Okay. Senator Bono?
Mr. Chair, members, it's interesting Senator Rood's comments, because if you look at what these sectors are, they're actually sectors where we have identified that we would like to have more women be part of them. So, for example, IT, having women go into fields like computer programming or coding, advanced manufacturing. Kim Aragone spoke on behalf of the Manufacturing Association, and it's kind of a breath of fresh air to see a woman in the manufacturing trade. And so I appreciate Senator Rood's putting that in there. On the other hand, I'm sensitive to Senator Herr's suggestion. Keeping in mind that it says, number one, within the metropolitan area, to the extent there are sufficient applications, and so if we don't have enough, it doesn't, they would be given out to anyone else. Perhaps I could offer a suggestion that might sort of split things. What if the 20 was raised to 25? Then I don't know if members would feel comfortable with that, but that might give Senator Herr enough comfort that there would be more focus on this than he had previously expected, and then accommodate Senator Rood's request. Just a suggestion.
Okay. Senator Herr, any thoughts on that?
I like to, you know, if we do in the racial and the ethnic minority are part of the, in itself is umbrella to gender as well. And so if we are expanding the language to make sure that, you know, gender is really specified out there, then I'd like to increase the number little bit beyond 25%, you know, more likely 30. The thing is, I don't have the right number at this point, and perhaps, you know, that could come into discussion later, but I would like it to be a little higher than 25, you know.
Just a comment. I don't, maybe there's something in statute that can help us with this now. I know when we talk about economic development, you know, I've added amendments like women and minority-owned businesses, and I don't know if we have anything in statute that would help us in regards to grants for training for employees. Maybe Mr. Fuller could help us if we have anything, maybe not about grants exactly, but do we have any other cases where we use the term women and minority-owned? I'm used to it in businesses, but are there other places in the statute where we talk about women and minority-owned entities that we want to be sure are well represented?
Mr. Fuller? Mr. Chair, Senator Nelson, it's in government and procurement is the one that jumps in mind. There's a lot of emphasis on that. There's a multitude of laws that require preference be given to those sorts of entities. You can think of the Sports Facility Commission building a stadium. So in government procurement, it would be the other leading area. I think where it might be, Mr. Chair.
I'd like to hear Mr. Fuller, Mr. Chair, if that's all right.
We have two things on the table now. I mean, there's two sentences here. And the one we're amending for women is the one about the statewide preference. And then you have the metro area percentage. And one possibility would be then to limit the percentage in the second sentence to ethnic and racial minorities. So you'd have a statewide preference that included women. I mean, I'm just trying to work with Senator Rood. And then who didn't ask me to work with her, so I... but I think that's one of the problems, because if you did adopt the preference and then you went down the percentage, it could all go to women. You see what I'm saying? I mean, which is, you know, maybe not what you intended. So if you... It seems like the one is pretty specific in Senator Herr's mind. And the first one would be more general across the board, that would reflect more of Senator Rood's intent.
Mr. Chair, I will
concur
if the council can come up with the language for us to. I think we're understanding. We have the same wailing here.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Bonham.
Mr. Chair, I would like to hear from Senator Rood how she feels about that, because it would accommodate the statewide perspective, including women. It wouldn't with the metro. And so I assume just because Senator Rood represents outstate that, you know, you might still want that. I'm open to Senator Herr's other suggestion of going to the 30 because of the fact that it does say to the extent there are sufficient applications. And one of my partners in putting this bill together is the Chamber of Commerce, and so I've been kind of sideline chatting over here, and that seemed to be okay with them. So
we'll do what Senator Rood wants, and I think it's important. Obviously, we want to do the work in this committee, but this bill does have several other committees it has to go to. But I want to make sure if we can get something worked out here, we can continue to have the discussion. But if we can get some language that gives you comfort, Senator, we can certainly do that.
And Mr. Chair and Senator Bonhoeff, I think you are correct. We wouldn't want to include women in greater Minnesota and not include women in the metro area. So I think that needs, you know, a broad voice. But if it would make Senator Herr more comfortable to have the percentage higher, as long as we included all women in the state, that would be fine.
Okay. Senator Bonhoeff. Well, let's just... So we know we're going to just act on one thing at a time, because we have Senator Rood's oral amendment that will actually change the bill, because we have adopted the A6 amendment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we could take that first, and then if we want to come and change the number, or you want to try to combine both of those?
We've adopted this.
Right. So we're changing the bill.
But we'd work off this amendment.
Okay. We'll walk off the amendment.
Okay.
So do you want to do it? Can we do it all at one time, change the number and the language?
Well, Mr. Chairman, it's not clear to me what Senator Rood has agreed to. so far we've talked about adding women. We had the amendment that she offered, which are women or on line 1.4. And then there was discussion about how that would dilute the percentage on line 6. So then the suggestion was made, okay, perhaps limit the percentage mandate to ethnic and racial minorities. And so you'd have a statewide preference for all three groups. And then you'd have a carve-out in the metro area for the 20% for the ethnic and racial minorities. But nobody agreed to that. I didn't, mm-hmm. And so I'm not clear what's on the table.
Right.
Mr. Chair, I think that where we added on line 4 women or works, and then if we could just raise the percentage, I think that keeps everyone in the state, does it not, Mr. Fuller, and raise the percentage that what would make Senator Herr comfortable.
And Mr. Chair, is it woman or a woman and? Because woman or is switching between either or.
Or.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair.
Senator, Mr. Fuller.
I mean, from Senator Hearn's perspective, then, all that carve-out, none of it could go to racial and ethnic minorities, and this provision would be satisfied. And I'm not sure that's what he offered.
That's correct, counsel.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, because woman R would mean we could completely ignore the racial minority group.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Fuller, would and work? Would that
Mr. Chairman, Senator Root, that would mean they would have to be women and members of these groups. If that's your intent, that would work, but I'm not sure that Senator anyway, that's what would happen.
Well, Mr. Chair and Mr. Fuller, how do we add women into this mix statewide? What would be the language to do that?
Mr. Chair, Senator, you did that. So that's why I said there's two separate pieces here. There's now, if your amendment of women or is added, then women are, those grants are preferred statewide on the same basis as the other two, except that in the metro area, there's a carve-out of 20% to those folks, women, members of racial and ethnic minorities. And the way it's worded, all the money could then go to women because of the way it's expressed down there as to grants preferred under this subdivision, which would be 1, 2, and 3. And so the or means it could all be with the first one or it could all be with the second group. That's, anyway. I think that's Senator Hurst's concern.
And
Senator Hurd?
Mr. Chair and Senator Bonoff, if you may chime in, is that the general scope of the bill already include gender in some extent, pretty overall extent. And
Senator Bonoff?
Mr. Chair, that wasn't my intent before I sat down here today. I respect Senator Rood's desire. I also hear what our council is saying, that if we have it said that way, that in fact none of our I don't think that's actually going to happen, and I think we're telling the commissioner to give equal preference. I wonder if that's a word, equal preference. We would like them to give equal preference to women and minorities. So, and I was willing to incorporate Senator Rood's and raise the percentage to accommodate the expanded group.
Arud?
Mr. Chair and Mr. Fuller, if we did incorporate Senator Bonhoff's piece on line 1.3, give equal preference, would that solve the problem?
I don't think it changes much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair, I guess then at this point I would be opposed to Senator Rood's amendment applying to 1.5 and 1.6 and 1.7 because I do want to place the emphasis in the metro area, making sure at least we get the communities of color. Because if you look at the unemployment rates, they're the ones that are drastically different than anybody else, and the rates of who's going to college, they're at the lowest. And so I would be comfortable with adding the women or in the top part as proposed by Senator Rood and then leaving it at the 20% with the ethnic minorities.
Senator Nelson.
So, and Mr. Chair, just one, I know I'm going to get pulled out here in just a second, but what I wanted to add to the conversation is that they're not mutually exclusive groups. So, in fact, women in ethnic and racial minorities also have very lower employment rates. So I think it's important that we somehow figure out how to incorporate all of Senator Hurst's suggestion or amendment and Senator Rood's. And maybe that's something we can't do here at this table, but I think it's a very worthy and important undertaking.
Okay. Can we get there? Or is there any way to do it? No?
Okay. Here's the statewide preference.
Correct.
Here's the current vote.
Okay. I understand. Okay. Well, Senator Rood, we're trying to help you, so I don't know if you still would like to go forward with your amendment. I mean, obviously, we're hopeful that the commissioner would not discriminate against women. I don't think she would, but we'll do whatever you wish. It sounds like it's going to be kind of hard to draft it here at the table, but.
Mr. Chair, just before Senator Rood, just to reiterate, if right now your motion is to do an oral amendment to include women or, and so if we were to adopt that, that would be the statewide perspective, and then I support that.
Mr. Chair and Senator Bonoff, well, I think you're going to go to other committees with this, and I would accept that for now, thinking that down the way that you can incorporate that in the bill, and just so that we know that if we're going to talk about racial and ethnic, there are more minorities in the state of Minnesota that need to be addressed. And so I would, if we could make that change, and then down the road we can work on this amendment.
Okay, that's fair. So Council, you understand where we're at,
Mr. Chair, right? The Senator Rood amendment is what stated previously, which is after R, insert woman or.
Okay.
And then we've already adopted the 20% on line 6.
Okay. So, on the Senator Rood oral amendment, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. The motion prevails. The Rood oral amendment is adopted. Thank you for your patience in working through that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yep, thank you. Senator Hurd.
Mr. Chair, would that mean we're going to increase the percentage? Senator Bonoff?
Senator Bonoff?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hurd, no, because we didn't add women to the other section.
Okay. Can I get it clarified? Can I have a final reading one more time on the,
Mr. Fuller,
the amendment that's just approved?
What we did was, they are included in the second sentence because they're a member of a minority preferred in this subdivision. So the situation stays the same, which is you could satisfy the second sentence within the metro area, and you could have no grants that are focused on racial and ethnic minorities. They could be for women who may or may not be in that minority. So, that's what we did.
Senator Hur?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Sorry.
I'd like to ask the council to read the new language completely so I can.
Well, it reads, Mr. Chair,
mm-hmm.
Senator Hur, mm-hmm. The commissioner shall give preference to grants that provide training to employees that are women or members of racial and ethnic minorities. within the metropolitan area, to the extent there are sufficient applications, the commissioner shall award at least 20% of available grant funds to grants preferred under this subdivision. So that's the key phrase, grants preferred under this subdivision, which are women, racial, and ethnic minorities.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. I was not reading it that way. So, in fact, we would need to reinsert, shall award at least 20% of available grant funds to grants to members of racial and ethnic minorities.
So, Senator Schmidt?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Mr. Chair, I was going to propose the same thing on line 1.6 that we add after the word grants for racial and ethnic minorities. And so that would only apply to the metropolitan area. I think that addresses all the concerns I've heard around the table. And I think that's what Senator Bonhoff is proposing as well, or something similar.
I'll have him say it again.
Okay. Can you say it one more time, please, Senator Schmidt?
Sure, Mr. Chair. If Mr. Fuller could, on line 1.6, after the word grants, insert for racial and ethnic minorities. And my reading of that would mean that just within the metropolitan area, 20% of the grants would be directed towards those preferred groups, if we were to adopt. And so we're having the statewide statement in the first sentence and then a more targeted statement with the 20% preference in that second sentence.
I would write it a little differently.
Okay. All right. You have a suggestion? I mean, I think we know
what we're going. Okay. Just tweaking what Senator Schmidt said.
All right.
It would read, after a grant, say, for training for employees who are members of racial and ethnic minorities, period, and strike the rest of the language in that.
Is that okay with you, Senator Schmidt? Senator Herr, does that give you some comfort?
Yes. Can the council read it to me one more time, starting from 20% on?
Okay. Mr. Fuller?
Shall award at least 20% of available grants for training for employees who are members of racial and ethnic minorities. It repeats the language from above.
Thank you.
Okay. Senator Bonhoff, you okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then on, you got one more?
Yeah, I just saw it.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, it's fine.
Okay. On the Senator Schmidt oral amendment, everyone understand what we're trying to do there? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed say nay. The motion prevails. The Senator Schmidt oral amendment is adopted. Okay. Any further discussion on Senate File 5? If not, thank you. You did some good work here. Obviously, we know Senator Bonhoff has to go to a couple more committees, but good luck with this. And I think, as we all said, and Senator Nelson, you stated it too, that economic development will be a top priority of this committee and I think the entire Minnesota Senate this session. So Senator Bonhoff moves that Senate File 5 as amended be recommended to pass and re-refer to the Committee on Higher Education and Workforce Development. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. The motion prevails. The bill is passed. Thank you very much, Senator Bonhoff and members.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And with that completes our work for the day, so the meeting is adjourned.